right. Thank you, Brother Pritchett. I appreciate that. Thank you, Kaylin, for playing for us. What a blessing. And that song is very true. We can face tomorrow because He does live. And I'm thankful for that. I feel bad for those that do not know the Lord, those who are unbelievers. And especially when you think about someone who would call themselves an atheist at this time, boy, they must be full of fear. At a time like this, with the economy doing what it's doing and leadership seeming to flounder in every way, and things being uncertain, and of course then there's always the fear of contracting the virus as well, they must be having a tough time. I'm thankful that we have the Lord, that we can be really full of encouragement, full of joy, even at a time like this. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. And isn't it true that the hymnals become a real source of blessing at a time like this, don't they? You sing some of those hymns, and even though we haven't really faced any major problems, but yet even just in the little bit of problems and the uncertainty of the future, those hymns begin to come alive, don't they? They really become a source of blessing and encouragement. So I would encourage you to, even in your own personal time, spend some time reading through the hymnal and singing the songs in your mind and letting the words minister to your soul. I believe that God gave us music for that purpose. All right, Psalm 119 and verse 99. Psalm 119 and verse 99. It says there, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Again, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." The psalmist here makes a bold statement, basically saying this: I have great wisdom, so much wisdom that I have more understanding than all my teachers. And the reason that the psalmist was able to say that he had more understanding than all his teachers is that not that he was a super intelligent person, although I'm sure he was, not that he had a better education than his teachers, although I'm sure his education was good. The reason that he was able to say that is what he says in the last phrase, that the testimonies of God, in other words, we might say the Word of God, was his meditation. That's what he thought on. That's what he meditated on. And that gave him great understanding, great wisdom, we might say. And friends, I want to encourage you this morning with this truth, that if you and I will get back to meditating on the Word of God and letting that be our focus, we also can say with the psalmist, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." I've titled the message this way: you are smarter than the pundits. All right? You are smarter than the pundits. And we live in a day and an age in which everybody has an opinion about everything. With radio being what it is, and of course it's been that way for a long time, there's a lot of people on the radio that will give you their opinion, and there's a lot of different opinions out there. People on the news are the same way. It's been that way for a long time, hasn't it? But now with the distribution of social media, as strong as it is, everybody and their brother-in-law who can't rub two dimes together, everybody has an opinion, right? And everybody has become just a social genius. Even if their family is falling apart, just because Facebook and other forms of social media have made pundits out of all of us. But I would encourage you that when you meditate on God's Word, you have more understanding than others do. Those who would have a loud mouth and would be strong about giving their opinion, you have more understanding than they do if this book right here that I hold in my hands is your meditation. And I want to encourage you in that. And I believe that the message this morning will help you and encourage you to remember that you ought to spend your time focusing on God and His Word. Now, we've used Psalm 119, verse 99 as our text. But now I want you to turn back to Psalm 37, where we had our scripture reading. And that's where the majority of the message will be from. But let me pray, and then we'll get right into the message here this morning. So Psalm 37 is where we'll be. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I need you this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. It is a privilege, Lord, but it's not enough for me to get up here and just talk. It's not enough for me to get up and give my opinions. In fact, that's the wrong thing to do. Lord, I need you to fill my mind and my heart, not with my own opinions, not even with earthly wisdom, but Lord, with heavenly wisdom that comes from your word. Holy Spirit of God, I submit my mind, my heart, and my mouth to you to speak truth to your people, to use your word that you wrote to minister to your people this morning in a way that would be applicable to the very things they're going through and feeling today. And I know you can, and I ask that you would. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, during the time that we're living in now, where the coronavirus is causing things to shut down, and of course, just this week, a lot of things have happened. The state of Wisconsin, along with most other states, have just really clamped down on different things going on, and that has not pleased me in a lot of ways, and I've not been real happy about some of the things that have gone on. And I'm sure you are with me on that. Some of the states, I heard that New Jersey and New York, and I think maybe even Connecticut, I know for sure California, have basically told people stay right where you are, don't leave your house unless it's absolutely essential. I know I talked to Brother Shergalis yesterday. It's pretty much that way there in Bulgaria. Not quite that strict, but pretty close. There's different things going on. They really don't want people out of their homes if at all possible. Around the world, even talking to my wife's sister there in Ghana, things are strict in Ghana as well. Just all around the world, things are strict. So there are a lot of different theories as to why all of this is going on. There are a lot of different theories that have kind of a discouraging aspect to them. And I have heard, not all of them, but I've heard almost all of them, and folks usually share them with me. And I this week had a day where I was just about ready to not hear any more of them because I had heard so many different ones. And my poor wife gets to bear the brunt of me talking about those things and how I wish that the pundits would stop punning or whatever the pundits do, right? However you turn that into a verb. I was wishing that they would. But let me share with you some of the things that I've heard, and probably you've heard some of these things as well. Possible sources of us fretting at this time are that all of this thing with the COVID-19 virus is just because the enemies of Donald Trump are hyping this to keep President Trump from being reelected. Have you heard that one? The other one is that the big government socialists in our political system and around the world are using this crisis to take away our liberties and to keep us under their control. Have you heard that one? How about this one? Those who would push for a one-world agenda within high places are pulling the strings behind the scenes, and all of this in an attempt to bring us to a new world order, including new forms of currency and things like that, and vaccines and chips and all that stuff. Have you heard any of those? You've probably heard all three of those and probably multitudes of other ones and even variations of those three. Well, let me say this about all of those, whatever you may have heard in regards to that, they may or may not be true. I think you knew that. That's not a news flash. They may or may not be true. Now, I would say this. I wouldn't be surprised if they were true. And perhaps all of them are true, all simultaneously being true together. It's possible. So here's the question that I would ask you, and I believe you know the answer. If those things are true, if this is just the enemies of Donald Trump around the world trying to bring things to a crash so that he won't get reelected, if it's true that it's just big government trying to take away our liberties so we'll live in a more socialist state, if it's true that those who want a one-world government and a new world order are pulling the strings behind the scenes to bring us to a new world order, if all of that is true, what should we do? And let me encourage you to answer your question with the Bible. Not with your feelings, not with what a pundit told you on the radio or television or even Christian radio, not with what they said. Let me ask you this question. What does the Bible say? You see, because we can come up with all kinds of things, but it doesn't matter what my opinion is, doesn't matter what your opinion is, it does matter what God's opinion is. And all of this that's going on is not a surprise to our Heavenly Father. He is in no way surprised. And so if all of those things are true, He's not surprised about George Soros. Newsflash. God is not in heaven wringing His hands about the one-worlders and new world order individuals that run the scenes and the Bilderbergers and the, you know, whatever, and the Whataburgers. God's not surprised about all of those things that we sometimes worry about. God did give us some commands in Scripture. And Christians, let me encourage you this morning to turn the news off. Turn off the computer and get into God's Word. And I want to say that with as much strength as I possibly can, friends. It's time for us to ask ourselves, what does God say? And let me encourage you with this. God never, ever, ever in His Word tells you to fill up your basement with canned goods and with non-perishable foods so that you can last for 6 months to a year. You'll never find that in God's Word. I'm not saying it's not wise to prepare, but I am saying this. Listen, the truth of the matter is, think about this for a minute. If you tomorrow go out and you buy enough food for your family for 6 months and you keep it stored in your house, and then a week from now, everything crashes, none of us can get food, and you have 6 months of food in your house, what is going to happen? Number one, people are going to come gunning for you. Number two, I know you as a Christian, those of you who are members of Madison Baptist Church anyway, and I know this, you wouldn't keep that food from your neighbors. Are you going to let your neighbors starve and go without while you have food? Are you going to let them famish while you have enough? The truth of the matter is, we know what the answer is. No, if we were to have that, we would share it with all around us, which wouldn't be a bad idea. It'd be a good thing to do. You'd be a blessing, wouldn't you? It'd be a good opportunity to witness. But the point being this, it wouldn't last you 6 months then if you share it with all your neighbors. You see, our dependence should not be on our ability to stockpile. Our dependence should be on the God of heaven. Let's be wise. Let's understand God's principles that we should prepare for the evil day. A wise man seeth the evil and hideth himself, the Bible says. But the wicked pass on and are punished. So we should be wise, obviously. But let's not depend on those things. Now, here's what the Bible does say in Psalm 37. Here's what the Bible says. So in other words, let me kind of go back to this thought. If these things are true, that the enemies of Donald Trump are hyping this to try to keep him from being reelected, if big government people are trying to get us under their control, if people are pushing for a one world and new world order, then what should we do? Psalm 37 has the answer. Here's what it says, verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So, in Psalm 37, I just read one to you, but let me share with you six actions that you and I can concentrate on during the coronavirus outbreak and all of the things that the pundits are saying. Here's how you and I can be wiser or smarter, whatever you want to say, than the pundits. Number one is, fret not. Here's the first action you can take. Fret not. Now think about what it means to fret. It means to be filled with care, to be filled with worry. And the Bible tells us that we are not to be full of fear or worry because of evildoers. That means the big government people that are trying to take away our liberties. That means that those who pull strings behind the scenes and don't want Donald Trump reelected. Please remember this. Don't fret about them. Remember that God is in control. The Bible tells us this. Why shouldn't we fret? For there is coming a day. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That's God's promise. Friends, that means George Soros will soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Yes, even him. Obviously, unless he gets saved, that would be a blessing, wouldn't it? That means anybody else that you can name who's a one world or a new world order type of person that would maybe be able to influence people and systems and trying to bring this all down. Please know this. God's promise is you can put that person's name in that verse and say they will soon wither and they'll be cut down. God will take care of it. That was the first action that we can do. Fret not. Look at verse number 3. Here's the next command that we're given or action that we can concentrate on. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. This is a twofold call to action. We are to trust and do. It tells us there, trust in the Lord and do good. Friends, are you concentrating on, are you focusing on doing good in these days? That's exactly what God wants you to do in these days that we're living in, when it looks like all around us is falling apart, when it looks like the United States of America is losing the liberties that our founding fathers worked so hard to give us. What should you and I do? We should trust in the Lord and do good. That's God's promise. And then what He says is, so shall we dwell in the land, and we shall be fed. Again, God's promise. Let me give you the third action that you can do. That's in verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself in the Lord. That word delight, think about what that means. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We know what it means to delight in something. That means that we look forward to it. We get our joy from it. I can remember being a young person. I can remember my mom having a conversation with me one time and saying something like this. I forget what the events were surrounding it, but I was doing what kids often do. I was enjoying the fact that I was getting a certain privilege and being able to be a part of an activity that I had looked forward to for a time. And then when the activity was over, I was kind of down in the dumps and maybe moping around the house a little bit because it was a big letdown that thing that I had anticipated and looked forward to for so long was over. And I remember my mom talking to me and having this conversation with me about life is full of those things. And you need to learn to look forward to the things that you enjoy and not always look back on what you've missed, but look forward to the things that you enjoy. And just looking forward to it will give you a little bit of joy and enjoyment. You know what that is? That's delighting in that thing. And you know, when I was a little boy, of course, that was during school, it was recess time. My, how I looked forward to recess time. I couldn't wait to get outside and play with my friends. Now, back in the day, don't tell anybody, but we used to actually play tackle football in school. I know that's like against the rules now. Nowadays, you can barely touch one another, and that's just the rules anymore. But that's what we did. Don't tell my dad, who's probably watching this right now either, but we used to go on the north side of the church here, and me and a couple of the boys, and we would wrestle out there as well. That was our activity on breaks. And I looked forward to those things. That was fun. I was delighting in that. I was enduring something that I didn't like, looking forward to that which was coming. And you know that we ought to delight ourselves, not in the economy, not in the liberties that we have as United States citizens, not in the fact that things are going well for us, but we're delight ourselves in the Lord. The beautiful thing about delighting yourself in the Lord is that never goes away. It's like the recess that never ends. Wouldn't our students love that? It's the recess that never ends. You know what? When you delight yourself in the Lord, you have something that will always be with you that you can always enjoy. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When our delight is in Him, we have joy, and we can have this faith knowing that there's coming a time when the things that we're delighting in will come to pass. Then verse number 5 and 6 give us the fourth action that we should do during this time. Verses 5 and 6, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. So there it is. We should commit our way unto the Lord. Give your way to God. Everything that you do in these days, let it be based on what does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? And I know that part of that will be for you to lead your family in righteousness and holiness, leading your family to love God's Word, being a part of the church as much as possible, being a witness, meeting the needs of those who maybe are struggling at this time. Those are some ways that you can know that is God's way, but there will be a lot of other ways that the Holy Spirit will lead you in. But commit your way to the Lord. Give it into His hands. Don't take it back upon yourself. Don't trust in yourself to make sure that you don't end up in trouble. Leave it in God's hands. Then the fifth action is in verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Friends, we should rest in the Lord. Put your rest in Him. Give Him the cares and the worries that you have, and lay it at His feet. One of the problems that we have many times is we do pray, but when we pray, we're not really giving our problems over to the Lord. We're talking about those problems, but we're not leaving them there at His feet. You see, when you talk to the Lord about your problems, and then you take them back up and put them back on your shoulders when you're done talking to the Lord, then you really don't have any rest. The rest comes when you take your burdens to the Lord and when, like the song says, leave them there. Leave them at His feet. But that takes faith. It takes trust. But you and I need to rest in Him. And then verse number 8 is the sixth action, and that is cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I'll ask you this question regarding that sixth action. Have you at any time in this past week, have you been angry? Have you been angry over what's going on? Have you been angry at your government? Have you been angry at those who are doing wickedly? Have you been angry at your family? Wives, have you been angry at your husband? Children, have you been angry at your parents? Listen, all of those things show that our heart is not right with the Lord. If we're angry about it, then we're not trusting the Lord. Then we don't really believe that God is in control. You see, the Bible tells us, cease from anger, forsake wrath. Let those things go. Get rid of those things. That did not come from God. Remember, the Bible tells us that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And that's true today, just like it was in the day in which God wrote it in His Word. We can do all of those six actions because of the comparison of our futures. Look at verses 9 through 11, Psalm 37. How can we do that, or why can we do that? For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Could I ask you to take just a moment and meditate on that truth found in those verses for just a little bit? You might even take just a moment right where you are, as long as you're not driving while you're listening to this, all right? But maybe even close your eyes for just a moment. And just think about somebody that you would think of as maybe in charge of things, pulling strings behind the scenes, trying to destroy our country, bring us to one world government, or at least to destroy our president and cause him to not be reelected. Whatever the thought that you might have, if you can picture that person in your mind, what does the Bible say? The Bible says this, that they will be cut off. Verse 10, it says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You know, there's going to come a day. I'll just use George Soros as an example, because I do believe, from everything I've read, that man is a very wicked man who hates God and hates everything that the Bible would stand for. And I believe he does work against our government in a lot of ways and the righteousness that we would have. So I'll just use him as an example. If he does not get saved and turn from his wicked ways, the day will come when we will diligently consider his place, and it will not be. It'll be gone. Listen, there's coming a day, I picture it in my mind, where we'll wake up and it'll all be different. Those wicked, those who would try to work against and undo the Word of God and the work of God, we'll look for them and they'll be gone. God will have dealt with them. That day is coming. Friends, that day is as sure in the future as the fact that you and I are breathing in this moment. Just as sure as you know that the sun will rise tomorrow at whatever time the meteorologists would tell us, and those who study astronomy will tell us whatever exact moment that is that the sun will peak over the horizon tomorrow morning. Just as sure as we know that, even more sure than we know that, we know that this day spoken about in verse 10 is coming. And at that time, the Bible says we will inherit the earth and delight ourselves in the abundance of peace. And friends, that day is coming. You can bank on that. There is a comparison of futures where their future is to be cut off. Ours is to inherit the earth. Look at verse number 12, and here's what you can know. God is not ignorant of the devices, the plans of the wicked. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. Listen, friends, God is not ignorant of what's going on. When you hear some pundit talk about how the wicked are plotting against the just, you should call into that radio show and say, well, duh, if you'd read your Bible, you would have known that for thousands of years. It's in God's Word. Of course the wicked are plotting against the just. What's new? It's the same. Next time a Christian radio program goes on and about how bad it's going to be and how terrible it's getting and all these different things, call into that radio program and say, duh, God's Word says so. It's going to be that way. Of course it is. Yes. But God's not ignorant of those things. He's not surprised by those things. And He's still calling on you and me to commit our way to Him, to do good, to not fret, to trust in Him, to delight in Him. That's the answer. What do I do? Obey God's Word. Psalm 37 tells you how. Go to verse 34. And there's an encouragement there for us to have faith in verses 34 to 40. We read this as our scripture, reading Psalm 37, verse 34. Now we need to have faith. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. By the way, I've looked those trees up, and they are trees that they don't grow so much up, they grow out. They spread themselves, just like it says there. And the psalmist here says, I've seen the wicked, and his influence is spreading like a green bay tree. It's not spreading up, it's spreading out, and he's getting more and more influence. I've seen it that way. And then look at verse number 36. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Verse 37. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You know, we are given two commands in verses 34 to 40. We'll read the rest of those. But the first command is, wait. That's in verse 34, wait on the Lord. You know what that tells me? I need faith. Both of these commands require faith. You know, to wait on the Lord means that I'm going to believe God. It means that circumstances will not always look like God's Word is coming to pass. In fact, circumstances are going to look the opposite. It's going to look like the wicked is prospering and the righteous are not going to succeed, and that it isn't worth it to live a righteous life. But I have to have faith and wait on the Lord and believe Him. But not only to wait on the Lord, the second command in those verses also requires faith. And that's in verse 37, mark the perfect man. That word mark is a command. It's an action. In other words, this, put a mark on that person. Now, nobody's perfect as in what we think of in modern day English as perfect. In other words, sinless. It's not talking about a sinless person. It's talking about a person who, remember, we've talked about this recently, has a perfect heart with the Lord. He's 100% sold out to God. And that should be you and that should be me. And the Bible says, by faith, we should mark that man. Say, keep an eye on that guy right there. You know what his end is going to be? Peace. The wicked, they're going to be gone. That man's going to have peace. Mark it down. Put it in your book. You can bank on it. You can bet on it. God's Word is true. And by faith, you and I need to do that and keep that in our mind. So if you look at your life and you say, boy, to the best of my ability, my heart is perfect with the Lord as much as I possibly can as a human being, still struggling with a sinful flesh, I am 100% sold out to God, then here's what you can know about yourself. Your end will be peace. So mark that person. Verse 37, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Let me encourage you in these days to trust in the Lord. Let me encourage you that if you've been fretting because of the evil man, if your heart has been filled with fear, or maybe even not fear, but just, you know that feeling that I'm talking about? When your stomach is kind of in knots because you can see all of the wicked doing what the wicked do. You know, when you look at our government and you say, man, some of these things going on, the government really has no place giving us those commands and shutting everything down and telling people they can't do this and telling people they can't do that. And boy, our liberties are getting tossed aside. And if your heart is kind of, and your stomach is kind of tied in knots because of all that, then friends, you're fretting because of the evil man. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't write your congressman or congresswoman, talk to those in government. I would say you should give them your mind in a godly way, in a right way. But don't let your stomach be tied in knots about those things. Have you been fretting because of the evil man? Is the Holy Spirit convicting you of your lack of faith? Are you listening more to the pundits than you are God's Word? If the Holy Spirit is convicting you of those things, I want to encourage you today to make a decision to turn those things off, to stop worrying about who says what and what supposedly wise man has to say about this day and age, and get back into the Word of God. Read Psalm 37, meditate on Psalm 37 and say, God, I believe You. Your promises are true. And You've preserved Your Word so that I could have it in my hands for such a time as this. And go forward in faith and encouragement. And like I talked about last week, be a blessing to those around you. Show the lost around you that you can be full of joy in the midst of everything falling apart. Why? Because you're marking the perfect man. You're trusting in God's Word. Now, friends, I would be remiss if I did not bring this subject up as well on this Sunday morning, and that is, you cannot claim the promises of Psalm 37 if you are not born again into the family of God. See, because the Bible talks about the righteous are the ones that will inherit the earth. The meek is what they're called in verse 11. They will delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The righteous are talked about throughout this psalm. And you know, none of us on our own are righteous. I don't care how godly you are in man's eyes. I don't care how long you've gone to church, or whether you've been baptized, or how many good works you've done. I don't care how much you give to charity. You are not righteous on your own. The Bible is clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And without a supernatural, a miracle by God, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said it this way, except ye be born again. Right? You cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again, he said in John chapter 3. And the only way to do that, friends, is to believe God's Word. And here's what God's Word says. It says, as I've already mentioned, that you're a sinner and I'm a sinner, that no good works of ours will save us. No one has ever been saved from hell by doing good works. But friends, the thing that we can do is believe what God has said about His Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost, that He died on the cross after having lived a perfect life, that God placed on Him on that cross your sins and my sins, that He suffered and died in my place, in your place, that God poured on Him His wrath, that God laid on Him the iniquity of us all, and that 3 days later, after His death, He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose from the grave in victory to give us newness of life. And all who believe on Him are born again in the family of God, that when someone takes God at His word and says, God, I know I'm a sinner, I know I deserve Your wrath, but I believe that Jesus is the Savior. That all who do that are supernaturally born in the family of God. That God comes in and performs a miracle in your heart, makes a new creature within, and He gives you eternal life. We call that salvation, being saved, knowing that you're going to heaven, not going to go to hell. And friends, if you've never been born into the family of God, if you've never believed on Jesus Christ, and today's the day you need to do that, because the truth of the matter is, all of us, long before coronavirus came in on the scene, all of us are susceptible to death at any moment. People die every day, young and old alike. And all of us need to be ready to face eternity, and that means you today. Are you ready to face eternity? If not, then I would encourage you to do this. Believe what God has said about His Son Jesus, that He's the Savior, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again. And if you'll believe that and call out on the name of Jesus for God to forgive you of your sins and save you, then He will, and you'll be born again into the family of God. If you need help with that, if you'll call the church, then we would be glad to talk you through that, show you from the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven. Our number is 608-249-0941. And if you'll call us, we'd be glad to help you. You can get on our website, which is mbcwis@att.net. Or that's our email address. mbcwis.net is our email, or I'm sorry, our web address. We'd be glad to have you contact us. We'd be glad to help you with how to know for sure that you're going to heaven. But for those of us who are saved, we need to trust in the Lord, fret not ourselves because of evildoers, and we can know more than our teachers because we meditate on this book and not on the things around us. Let me encourage you to do that today. I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. I would encourage you to take just a moment, especially dads in your homes, take just a moment, ask each one around the table or the living room, wherever you are, what they learned from the message, maybe how it applied to them individually, and make sure that you make any decisions that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about. After I'm done praying, we'll be dismissed. Remember, 6 o'clock tonight, we'll have another live stream service, and we'll go through the book of Ezra. We'll have an overview of the Bible. The book of Ezra is tonight. I would encourage you to tune in for that at 6 o'clock. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given to us today to gather together, to look into your word, to receive some hope from your word. And Lord, we do take you at your word. We know that we should mark the perfect man, that we know that the end of that man is peace, no matter what it looks like now, though the wicked are spreading themselves like green bay trees. We know that the day will come when we will awaken from this and they'll be gone, that we'll diligently seek their place, but they will not be, that you will have called them to judgment, that you will have dealt with them. Lord, we look forward to that day. Would you help us to be faithful to that day? Would you help us to be a testimony? Would you use us to shine as the brightness of the firmament? Lord, to bring many people to righteousness, to be winners of souls. Lord, would you help us to do that? I thank you, Lord, that you will. Please dismiss us with your blessing. Bless each family, each individual who's watching this service via the live stream. Those who will watch it later, have your hand upon them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.